You may have heard yesterday that the Barbados government is making some changes to that piece of legislation that was killed in the Senate earlier this year. We're talking about the Prevention of Corruption in Public Life Bill. In a just-held discussion mounted by the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Barbados and the Integrity Group Barbados, Attorney General Dale Marshall said that one provision up for change is that which brings judges under the scrutiny of the legislation.
Because of some judicial authorities, we felt, and as Attorney General, I felt especially, that to have judges being subject to the Integrity and Public Life Bill would run the risk of interfering with the separation of powers doctrine. I don't think we need to go into that. Everybody here would have a good understanding of what that is. But there was still a call for judges to be made subject. Now, David, as you would know, you can't change the terms and conditions of anybody who is currently a judge. The High Court in Trinidad said that to make existing judges subject to their Integrity and Public Life Bill would be to do exactly that. It would be to change the terms and conditions and infringe their constitutional separation and their constitutional protection. So what we've decided to do is, and the Prime Minister promised that we would do a separate bill, but in as much as we were going to have to make changes anyway, we figured we would just do it all at once. And therefore, what we are looking to do is to provide that any new judges who are appointed after this bill is passed, that they would be subject to it. But it is a complicated thing because judges are only capable of being disciplined under the provisions of the Constitution, which is our supreme law.
Panelists and attorney at law Alicia Archer of Integrity Group Barbados had this counter.
We are of the view that constitutions are living documents and essentially can be changed. This government does have the requisite majority in which to change it. However, we take the point about the constitutional provisions as it relates to the disciplining of judges, but we could simply reference that procedure in relation to them. So we have different procedures in the integrity legislation based on the type of officer. So a member of the commission, there's a different procedure than if it is an ordinary public officer. So that you can just simply have a third level, a regime in relation to judges, and they do form a special category, and link it back to the provisions relating to the panel and the Governor General and so on in the Constitution. But to wholly exempt them in a situation where the bench is almost fully staffed at this point. We have, not that we're saying that judges are any more apt to be corrupt than any other person. We're not saying that they're any less so, but the you only need one bad apple to spoil the whole barrel. So that essentially it can't be a situation, or we don't believe that it should be a situation where they are completely exempted from the type of legislation that we're trying to bring into force. The manner in which you, or the reasons for which a judge can generally speaking be got rid of relate to mental incompetence, things that are obvious, but in the changing world that we live in, there are things that are less obvious, which should be no less wrong when done by a judicial officer, essentially. And I would look forward to reading the case because we have not actually been provided with it.
Well, Alicia, it's actually, there are two cases and they're both attached. I'm sure you've seen the report. If you haven't seen the report of the Select Committee, it is available on Parliament's website and both of the cases are attached there. So it's a 700-page report, I know, but if you go to the report, you will see the full judgments exhibited. So you can take a look at that.
Attorney General Dale Marshall, and this has been Sagicor's Early Business.